Let's turn to the New Testament Gospel according to Luke chapter 2. Luke 2, 1 through 20. It's good to, in the midst of all the confusion about Christmas, what that means and does not mean in the life of our country and many countries in the world, it's good to reflect on the coming of Christ in the flesh. From Luke chapter 2. And the way it's recorded, let's hear the word of God. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us." And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. The congregation, people wish each other Merry or Happy Christmas. And in the Netherlands we have a custom to, or many people do, not everyone, but quite a few Christians do not say Christmas, but they would say Happy Christ Feast. Christ Mass is really a Roman Catholic greeting, a tradition. So people have said, well, we shouldn't say Christmas, let's say Christ Feast. I don't want to be picky about it, but I do hope that you will have a Christ Feast, and not just on Christmas Day. And it's my wish and prayer to be lifted up of all the trappings of this season. As I mentioned already before, sentimentalism. Like, people get very sentimental about this cute baby in a manger, and you see the scenes everywhere. I hope that the people remember that behind the cradle, behind the feeding trough, the manger, is the cross. That's why he came. Commercialism. Nothing really but self-serving. It's not just about giving presents, but getting presents. Getting many gifts. Nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with getting stuff and feel good, as long as it's built on something solid. It's to be feared, I think, that many people run away with the gifts and forget the giver. Sometimes you see that with our children when they get a present, right? And they run away with it and start playing with it and say, and you as parents, well, wait a minute, shouldn't you say thank you at least? And that's the giver, but they not only forget the giver, but we forget the gift with a capital G. The unspeakable gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's my wish that we would respond to the birth of the Lord Jesus, to the birth announcement, as the shepherds did. We want to consider that this afternoon with God's help. If we may imitate their example. Luke 2 verses 15 through 17. I just want to read that and consider it in the context. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them, that's from the shepherds, into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let's now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. I want you to understand the emphasis on this. It's not as much on what they saw, but on what they heard. They believed the word, and that's why they went. They didn't go check it, and then they believed it. It's very clear in the way they describe it. So our theme is, worship Jesus as the shepherds. And first is, come with haste. Second, find the word true. And third, make it known to all. As simple as that. First, then, come with haste. They say, let us now go and see. Was that your desire? This morning? This afternoon? With excitement? Let us now go and see. See this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us too. I know that it's very hard to keep always the same excitement about things. No matter how good things are, we tend to get used to it. But the worst thing is that we get used to the coming of the Son of God in the flesh. You may get used to all kinds of things, although there's danger there too, because it's God's gifts. But these are good tidings of great joy. The angel said in verse 10, fear not, for For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. The word good tidings is good news. The Greek is evangel, where we have the word evangelize from. And the word gospel in the English is really from an old English word, or two words rather, good spell. You know, and a spell is something that is something that's given, that's often nowadays negative, a spell cast. But the good spell is the good news. It's the gospel. Good tidings is simply gospel. The gospel of great joy. Mega joy, it says actually in the Greek. The word mega is in the word great. Is the gospel mega joy to you? To me? Do we still get excited about it? Do we get excited about it at all? Ever? They did. Of course, we can say, well, they saw angels and all that. Yes, that is true. But the emphasis on what they heard. You see that clearly as you read it carefully over. Let us now go. Without delay. Now. Also together, let us now go. Hey, you just wonder, you know, it said, hey, well, guys, let's say, let's the five of us go. You two, you stay here because somebody has to look after the sheep. No. Let us now go. Good news. Good news wants to be investigated, searched out. When it's bad news, you would turn away, although our depravity shows that we often like bad news too. I guess that's what the news agencies flourish on. But good news should be our pursuit, personal enjoyment, but also corporate enjoyment as a family, as a church, here and now, today. Let us now go. Go where? Well, we don't have to go to Bethlehem, thankfully, because Jesus no longer is a baby there. He grew up. He died on the cross. He arose and he ascended into heaven. So we don't have to go anywhere, but stay right here. We don't even have to have an altar call. You don't have to walk the aisle. We don't go with our feet. As we here worship him, we go to him in our mind and heart and soul with our voices. Our whole being yearning to God, and God is receiving us at this very moment. This is the word of God to us now. I bring you good tidings, God says. This is his word to us today. Of great joy, which shall be to all people. Well, it surely went from all the way there in the fields of Bethlehem to Harrison, Arkansas. And beyond. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. If you have not yet repented of your sin and believed the gospel, then he's today preached to you. There is a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Savior. The Savior, Jesus, the Christ, Yahweh, who saves. Is there in your heart a desire to see him and to know him? There were some people that came to Philip at one point. We read about it in John 12 and said to Philip, sir, we would see Jesus. We want to meet with him. We want to get to know him. Well, that was the desire of the shepherds too. Let us now go. Verse 15. Unto Bethlehem. And see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord... Oh, wait a minute. It wasn't the angels. No, the Lord has made known to us. They knew it was not the angels who spoke, but God who spoke through the angels. I want you to take note of that. The angels spoke, yes, but it was God who speaks. I put in this present tense, he speaks this word unto you is born this day in the city of David, which is Bethlehem. They knew Bethlehem. They lived there. been there many times. But they couldn't wait to see Jesus. Literally, the word see Jesus means to know Jesus. That's what it means in the original. To not just see Him, but to know Him. Of whom they've heard. Of whom the angel spoke, the Lord through the angel. And the other angels sang. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying glory to God in the highest. On earth peace, goodwill toward men. Goodwill. I've said it before, the same can be translated as good pleasure. On earth peace. Good pleasure to this sinful world, goodwill to bad people, the gospel, good news for bad people, for sinners. God's peace extended to rebellious men, to people that have no interest by nature. Divine love to conquer human hatred. Not by destroying, but by saving. You know, there's two ways to destroy an enemy, right? You can kill him, but you can also forgive him and love him. Then he's no longer your enemy. So you have destroyed, as it were, an enemy because you made him a friend. This is really what the picture of the gospel is about. Divine love to conquer human hatred, to overcome the rebellion and make a people willing in the day of his power. It's incredible that God even wants to do it with such a people, like even his own people. He came to his own and they received him not. God had cared so much for his people, and look how they dealt with their Savior. How they dealt with God's gift of salvation. And not only gifts received, but the gift of his Son. The Father giving his Son. The Son giving himself. The Holy Spirit facilitating the process of receiving that gift. A triune work. Triune work of a triune God. From the highest to the lowest. And the only reason, exclusive reason, is God's good pleasure, his good will. There's nothing in us that precipitated this, that caused it. Nothing. It's entirely his good will, his good pleasure to conquer our sinfulness and our rebellion, to make us his children. And I want you, that's why we sang Psalm 113. Even though that psalter doesn't by far even cover what the psalm, you should really read that psalm. Psalm 113 is a short psalm. But what you read in there, that God humbled himself to behold the things. It says he's above the heavens. His glory is above the heavens. Above all that was created. That he humbles himself not only to behold the things on earth, but he humbles himself even to behold the things which are in heaven. Well, I think, whoa. We think we couldn't get higher than the heavens, right? God says, I got to come down to see that. We think, oh, that's already quite a ways. And he humbles himself even further to see what is this earth all about. But then we read even further to lift the needy out of the dunghill. I don't think there's anywhere a greater contrast than this contrast. Above the heavens, a glory of way above anything that was made, because that God himself existed before even the heavens were created. And I'm not talking about the sky, I'm talking about heaven, the dwelling place of the angels. Heavenly places, as we read in Ephesians. This is higher, it's purer, more exalted, and more glorious. And God comes all the way down to the manure pit. Not just to the dust that Adam and Eve and we are made from. We're made to dust. But it's filthy dust. It's dirt.
It's manure, the dunghill. And then the thing is that God not only looks there, but he lifts as he got there. He got his hands dirty, as it were, literally, in the coming of the Son of God. He walked upon this earth, suffered the consequences of our sins, and then died the consequences of our sins. But he had done nothing amiss. And if that isn't enough, he not only takes us from the dunghill, but he sets us among princes, the princes of his people. So that's what the gospel is all about. There's nobody climbing up to God. It's God coming down and getting in it. It's like, maybe I'm not right in saying that, but it's like a father coming with a child, and the child is playing in the mud, and the father just joins the child and gets in there and picks the child up and gets dirty all himself. The child loves the dirt. So we love the filth and the guilt and the pollution of sin. So when the shepherds came to see him, don't forget, he came to see them first. We love him because he loved us first. That's what Emmanuel is all about. God with us, so that we may be with him. Let's go, they said. Literally, actually, in the original, I've referred to that before, in a tense that's in the Greek, not clearly in the English. Really, it said there, the shepherds said to one another, actually, they began to say to each other, or they kept saying to each other, let's go, let's go. They just were stirring each other up, let's go, yeah, let's go, together. Let's go, now. They didn't just say that. Okay, let's go there. No, they kept saying it. It's the ongoing Greek tense there. That there's excitement about it. To go see him. They were excited. And then we read in verse 16, they came with haste. So they wouldn't just talk about going. They went. How many times have we said we do this? And we will do our devotions. And we will do read the Bible. And we will do more prayer. What happened? What happened to the good resolutions, New Year's resolutions of this past year? See, they not only said it, they went. And with haste. That means they did not delay. They wanted to go there. There was none of them that said, oh, really, you really want to go there? Come on. They all went. You wonder about the sheep, right? Nobody thought about the sheep. And of course, we should not learn from this that we can neglect our daily duties. That's not the point. The point is, when we have opportunity, do we use the opportunity to go with haste and see and know the Lord Jesus? And do we tell each other and excite each other? If you go to church, are you talking about the things and to your children? Say, make sure you're going to listen, because God is speaking. His word is preached. We're privileged people. Make sure you pay attention. Many people are making New Year's resolutions. But what comes of it? Maybe you intended to do that and go to Jesus and serve him. But maybe you were distracted. This happens in so many different ways. There's so many distractions. Not just in this season, but throughout the year. All the things we deal with from day to day, many of them are distractions. Many of them we could maybe do without. We have plenty of distractions that come our way without looking for more. And yet, there is today. Maybe 2018 is almost done and not used. Opportunities granted, but opportunities lost. But God still comes today. We can still finish off the year well and begin the new year well. Let's go and see what the angels know, what the Lord, they said, made known to us. Do you see that? Verse 15. Let's see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. So it's not the shepherd, it's not the angels, it's not the pastor, it's not your mom and dad. It is God who speaks. Every time that Bible is opened, no matter who reads, even if you read it yourself, by yourself, God speaks. God speaks. And faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Not necessarily by the things you experience. You know, it doesn't say they talked about the angels or anything about the light or whatever. They talked about this Jesus. All the other things are important only as they direct us to the Lord Jesus. Hearing by the word of God. Then, and even now. It brings us to the second point. We find the word true. We find it to be true when God speaks. And we believe it. It's true. We heard it this morning. Certain truth. Absolute truth. They found. They went to look. They found. Of course. For them, it probably was a surprise, but they believed. And for them, it was, look, it is true. Of course it is true. You and I know that Bible better than they at that time. They didn't have a complete Bible in those days. Verse 16, they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and a babe lying in a manger. There's only one thing that mattered. I'm sure they looked at Joseph and Mary in passing. But their eyes were, there he is. That's why they came. One thing that mattered for them, and it was Jesus, and they found him. And so it is still today. And again, not to go to Bethlehem, but to Jesus. And how do we find him? And where do we find him? Well, simple. In the scriptures. He is the word. He is the word who became flesh. Jesus says, search the scriptures. They are they which testify of me. If you want to get to know me, if you want to see me, know me, search the scriptures. Everywhere. He said it several times. No matter where we turn to the scriptures, it's all about finding the Lord Jesus Christ. The way of peace between an angry and a holy God and a rebellious and sinful people. That's always the same thing. And always through bloodshedding. Always through a mediator. All combined in the Lord Jesus Christ. Search the written word and we will find the living word, because the word is alive. It's quick and powerful. Quick meaning life-giving. Confess our sins. Plead for the power of the Spirit. As we said, as we looked at this morning, we cannot save ourselves, but we know who can. Even if we can come to him without faith or little faith and say, Lord, I do believe, help on my unbelief. I find no sorrow for my sin, but Lord, convince me, convict me. Let the word do its work. You'll find the word of God to be true. The Messiah, the Christ. They knew they were at the right place. They knew they had the right person, because it was exactly as the angel said. What was it, children? What did the angel say? You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, strips of cloth, in a manger, a feeding trough. That's what the angel said. What God said. And look, it's true. Always true what God says. So I want you to note that they believed the word of God. Let us see this thing which the Lord has made known to us. Let us see, all of us today, what the Lord has made known to us. Let's get to know him. And to get to know him through his son, the Lord Jesus. They knew it was Christ. So it was told them. They believed the word of God before they saw Jesus. And I think that's what always is the case with living by faith. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. So seeing comes upon believing.
Or instead of the word seeing, knowing comes upon believing. I believe, Augustine said, therefore I understand. We could say, I believe, therefore I see. We so often in our dealing with people, we say, I won't believe it till I see it. Not so with this. If the angels would have said, today is, I don't believe it. Yeah, I'll stay where I am. They went with haste. And so clear that the focus is not on themselves or on the circumstances, but on the word, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will find that word to be just as true. Experientially, practically, it is sufficient. We may not always receive the exact instructions that we see. It's not like a checklist. It's not like a dictionary. It's a book in which God interacts with people then, and He does the same today. It's a humbling experience. You have to give up all what you think you know. All your own goodness. So we too will find the word to be true, but not without seeking. You cannot find without seeking, then you stumble upon it. That works with a lot of stuff. You can stumble upon all kinds of things by accident, but you cannot stumble upon finding God by accident. You go search for Him in the Scripture as it is told to you even today and has been told many a time. So we will not find the word to be true if we do not seek Him and it first. So when we go into the word, we see God as it were face to face, in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, because no one can see God and live. That's why we have a mediator. That's why we have the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man Christ Jesus, who's both God and man. We can see Jesus, and we shall, if we are believers, we shall see Him upon believing. Every eye shall see Him. Those that have said, I won't believe till I see it, they will have their words fulfilled too. They will believe at one point. If they have not believed in their lifetime, they will believe when they see Him. But that's unto condemnation. God wants to believe, and then we shall see Him unto salvation. Saved, not by sight, by feelings, by feeling good, by this or that thing or circumstances, whatever experiences it may be. If it doesn't lead us to Christ, we have to cut it out. There's only one way. There's only, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life, the light. There's no other way to go to the Father except through Him. So we don't find God's word to be just true, but truth itself or Himself. So the shepherds found Him. God the Father made it known to them. He speaks through angels at that time and prophets. And dreams and visions, not anymore. We read in Hebrews very clear, God now speaks through His word. That doesn't mean that there are not times that He does speak directly to people that have no access to His word, but eventually these people come to the word, or the word will come to them. You read actually quite a bit about conversions among Muslims, that people have seen visions and go look for this Jesus. And then find Him indeed somewhere when someone hands them a Bible. But the two must meet, and they shall meet. You seek, you shall find. So when they saw Jesus, they didn't just see Him. They knew Him. They knew Him. They rejoiced and worshipped Him as their Savior, which is Christ the Lord. God's Spirit made them willing and able to believe the word as they heard it. And He still works like that today. So when you hear the word preached, receive it, the word of God, and receive it in your heart and mind. Say, Lord, help me to believe. Forgive me my unbelief. Forgive me my rebellion. Forgive me my resistance. Forgive me all my sins.
receive me, Lord, in the name of this Savior, Christ the Lord. The word Christ in the New Testament is the same word as Messiah in the Old Testament Hebrew. So when they saw him, and when they saw the word confirmed, they could not be silent about it. They had to speak about it, so others would come to see Jesus and know him just like they did. That brings us to our third point about making it known to all. So it's actually very simple. Come with haste, no delay, eagerly. Find the word to be true. It is truth, not just itself, but himself. And then make it known to others, wherever we can. For everyone who so comes with haste and has tasted something of the unspeakable gift of the Father, like the Apostle Paul, there were just no words this morning in Ephesians 3 how he could express what he found. And I wonder if these simple, uneducated shepherds would have had the words to express it properly. It doesn't matter. We don't need to. We don't have to give a theological dissertation when we witness to others. We just testify what we've heard and seen in what we heard. So if we come to the Word of God, we will find when we seek. It's very clear that those who have not found it or him have not really searched for it. I'm not talking about reading the Bible. I'm talking about searching it prayerfully, meditating, reflecting, as we hear about Mary. She pondered these things in her heart. She was reflecting upon it, meditating upon it. She was thinking about, what is this with these shepherds? That was for her a confirmation. Ever thought about that? I mean, here she's with Joseph in a place, in a stable. There's no room in the inn. Is this little baby really the Son of God? I can imagine the thoughts in her mind and in Joseph's mind. This looked like a real baby. If these angels would, or these shepherds would not have come and declared what happened to them and what they heard, they probably would have still believed it, but certainly it was an encouragement for them that these shepherds came. Don't you think so? This is beyond natural. They must have looked at each other. Wow. Mary, Joseph said, what the angel told us is true. It's been confirmed. As the angel talked to Mary, that she would be the mother of the Son of God. And he talked to Joseph. He says, call his name Jesus. So they did. Maybe the shepherd said, what's his name? Jesus. Joshua. Yahweh who saves. And when they see that, they not only for themselves are confirmed, but they must have confirmed Mary too. I never really thought about it. What an encouragement that must have been for Mary. Of course, earlier she was already encouraged when Elizabeth came. But now another encouragement. And she would need them. Because like Simeon would say, a sword will pierce your soul. He'll be rejected. And I just wonder, we read in Scripture that in the Old Testament, the prophets desired to penetrate what the gospel would be like. Even the angels desired to look into it. And I think when that angel came to say his words that he said unto you, is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, the lineage, the seed of David, the seed of the woman, finally has come. I just think it's been so much that the heavens could not even contain the joy. I think that's what happened. When the angel was finishing speaking, in verse 13, Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." That choir must have been awesome. Maybe some of you went to hear the Messiah. Glory to God. It's an awesome piece. But it pales by what the song of that heavenly choir must have been. It's almost like that the angels, when they witnessed, now they understood. They tried to pierce into it in their mind. How is that going to be? How is the Messiah going to save his people? Now they get it. It's God in the flesh. It hadn't entered into man's mind. It was God who decreed and planned it and worked it out. And they burst forth. They sang. And yet these shepherds, they were despised. No birth announcement in Jerusalem. No baby in a golden cradle. I mean, everything seems to be so contrary to what we would expect it to be. The Savior of the world. I don't know if you noticed that how simple this is written about the birth of Jesus, right? The days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes for 7 and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. The simple, plain language used to describe the greatest miracle ever. It certainly came very different than the people expected. And so it's with the gospel still today. It's different than we expected because we don't understand it until we're there. Like that one man said, one day I was blind and now I see. How can you describe to a blind man what seeing is? How can you describe to a single person what it is to be married and a couple what it is to have children until it happens? Even more so with this. I don't know what else took place in that stable where Joseph and Mary and the baby was and the shepherds, or how many they were, what else they talked about. It's kept from us. Once again, it's just focusing on the main things. Simplicity. The focus is on Jesus himself. And that's what's happening so many times today. It's so distracting. All these things that are happening around Christmas. To celebrate, if they would keep it simple, they would have no gifts, no fanfare, no show. How many people would be interested in having a Christ feast? So we read in verse 17, when they had seen it, when they knew him. Did you notice that the word "it" is in italics in verse 17? Literally it says, when they had seen, when they saw, what they had heard, when they knew. Not it or him necessarily, they knew. This is truth. They began to make known abroad the saying which was told them concerning or about this child. So they were telling the people what they, not just what they saw, but what they heard. That the Messiah was born, the Christ. He is here. He's born in the city of David as announced in Malachi. Or maybe they didn't even know that. They may have been so ignorant, these shepherds, that he didn't even know that was going to be prophesied. It was prophesied that he was going to be born in Bethlehem. In Micah, I believe it is. According to the scriptures, which is meaning according to as God assists, with 300 prophecies pertaining to the birth of Christ have all been fulfilled. Maybe a nice study from time to search them all up in the Old Testament to find them all. Many more than this specific promise that Jesus, the Christ, was going to be born in Bethlehem. From the house and lineage of David. Both Joseph and Mary being in the lineage of David. They were of royal blood.
The interesting thing is that this Caesar Augustus, with all his pomp and splendor far away in Rome, he had some need of money, so he made a decree that the whole world should be taxed, not realizing that he was simply a pawn in God's hand to bring Joseph and Mary from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Because they had to go to their city of ancestry. God could have also just told Joseph and Mary, you got to go to Bethlehem because that's where your baby is going to be born. But the Lord likes to do it in a grand way. He just has the whole world moving. The known world at that time. That was a lot of traveling. No wonder the inn was filled and all inns were filled. People were all going to their city of ancestry. And two poor people, a poor carpenter and his espoused wife, go to Bethlehem because the baby to be born is the Son of God in the flesh. God works on a grand scale. You can easily miss it if you don't think about it. They worshipped and they left. It doesn't say explicitly that they worshipped there, but they certainly worshipped when they left. They witnessed what they saw. They didn't worship just in the presence of Jesus, but also in their witness of Jesus. By the way, they spoke to all who wanted to hear or did not want to hear. I could not be surprised if they would talk to people, said they would turn away from them in disdain because shepherds were despised. They weren't even allowed to count as a witness in court in those days. But there were also people that listened. We do read about that. Verse 18. And all they that heard it, it is again in italics, wondered at those things were told them by the shepherds. So they wondered about it. Interesting. Amazing. And they went on their daily work. It was probably very early in the morning, because it started in the night. I just wonder, I don't know, the Bible doesn't say anything about, you think there was anyone that went to go check it out? What would you have done? Most of us would probably think, these shepherds, they know, they lie for anything. They lie for a slice of bread. I'm not going to believe them. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them. Not as they had seen, but as it was told them. They had that word of God confirmed in their lives. God told them something, they believed it, and they found it to be true. And they want to share it with all people. I can just imagine the shepherds leaving that stable or whatever it is, and they go all over the place, but back to their sheep, back to work. So we have to go back to work too. Remember I said earlier, the sheep were taken care of by the Lord, but they were not neglected. They had to go back to work, and we have to go back to work. But how are we going to go back to work? These two things, caring for the sheep, doing our work, does not have to be exclusive from serving the Lord. No idea if these shepherds ever saw Jesus again. Don't forget that Jesus had to flee first to Egypt and later he lived in Nazareth. And it wasn't until 30 years later that he began to preach. Some of these shepherds may have died. Some of them may have been older men to still hear Jesus preach. There's so many things that are not in the Bible. We hear the main things that are necessary for our salvation today. We would like to have our curiosity answered to know all these things. How many of these shepherds would ever see or hear Jesus preach, you know? Maybe their children. Maybe the shepherds told their children and say, you know what? Keep out on the lookout for this Jesus. Well, he became famous enough, of course, later. But he was not well received. Except by sinners
who knew they were sinners. Publicans, harlots, and the self-righteous Jews denounced them and denounced him. But those that needed a Savior and recognized it, they were welcome. So what are we going to do these days? Will you go home today? Back to work tomorrow? Are you going to share some of the excitement what you heard today, this morning and this afternoon? A lot of excitement. Are you excited about the Lord Jesus? Inspired, as you heard this morning, with anticipation, sharing it with others, not only for what you may have, but what others may also then receive. If we found, like these lepers outside of the city walls one day in Samaria, when they found all these goods of the Syrians that had left, they were eating and they were stocking it up and said, we're not doing the right thing, we've got to share it. How are you going to respond? Like these people that just wondered at it, shook their head and said, wow, amazing, and go back to business. Or like Mary, ponder, which means meditate, reflect, think it over, read it over, as we sang a few moments ago. You all sang it, that this word is nourishing. Is it really? It says meditated in her heart. So it's not just a mental reflection, but it's a reflection what involves you as a person. This Savior I need. And not only is this Savior that I need, but it's a Savior who's ready to reveal himself to us so that we would have him as our Lord and Savior and worship him. Did you worship today? As you heard the word, have you stood in awe of this God who keeps coming after us Sunday after Sunday? Are you excited about it? I mean, I'm convicted. I don't know how you are, but I am. That I'm not more excited about this than I am. This Mary is an example of us. Already when she heard the word, remember that she said in Luke 1, be it unto me according to thy word. I quoted that this morning already. She said actually amen to the announcement of the birth of her son and the Son of God. And then later on, when she visits with Elizabeth, she sings, right? My soul hath magnified the Lord. My spirit rejoiced in God my Savior. She was singing about her Savior, her Lord, and her God while he was still in her womb. So Elizabeth was used by God to confirm it. He said, go to your cousin. And then later also these shepherds and more. Simeon, Anna. They were all confirmations, but also they alerted them, her, to what would happen with Jesus. She be also standing at the foot of the cross, seeing what would happen to her son 33 years later. See the consequences of her own sins. I can only begin to understand how life must have been for Jesus in that family. I'm sure Mary loved her son, but she sinned. Jesus must have seen his mother sin many times. She never saw him sin. I want you to enter into that. That's what happened. God took upon himself our nature, our flesh, to live the life that you and I cannot and will not live by nature, but by grace and by faith in him, when we come and see him. And get to know him. And what Peter says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that slowly we begin to resemble him more and more in our words, in our actions. worship Jesus as the shepherds. Come with haste. Find the word to be true and to make it known to all. Amen.